Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. It is Monday morning, post Raiders, and man, I still got the hangover big time. This one has me feeling more miserable and bitchy, I think, than even the game against the great Peyton Manning.
As it should. This one was about, in large part to me, you know, how you go about your business and what kind of football team you are. Sometimes you play well and lose. Sometimes the other guy makes a great play. Sometimes you fit it right and you lose a one-on-one battle and you still get run over. But mistakes and penalties and a general malaise just taking over a football team the way all those things did the Steelers yesterday is just very un-Steeler-like. It's uncharacteristic and it's not winning football, and it's it wouldn't be winning football for anybody.
And the just starting with the defense, another one of those really to me very basic plays that turns into a long touchdown run. This was pretty much Carson Palmer turning, handing the ball to Darren McFadden, who ran up the middle, made Ryan Mundy miss, and 64 yards later they were lining up for an extra point. I don't care if they got a seal here and a seal there and ran this play up the alley with, you know, the Packers offensive line. It should not look like that. That to me was embarrassingly easy, as was the quick hitch pass to Denarius Thomas. That was a 70. That was 71. This was 63, I think.
Four.
64, okay. What's a yard among friends? And then to compound that with a second half performance where the Raiders converted 7 out of 8 on third downs, when did they get that good?
Yeah, I get your displeasure with the run and I feel all that, but you know, that happened in the first quarter. The Raiders had 37 passing yards in the first half, or little more than half of that run. In the second half, it was LaMonica to Cliff Branch and give me some other great Raiders receivers from days
ago. Warren Wells and
I don't know who number 10 is, Bob. I'm not real sure who number 17 is. They're catching passes out there. Number 80. Head scratching. Inexplicable. Yeah. I don't know what changed. And I asked as many defensive players as I could find in the locker room. Carson Palmer suddenly was able to get the ball to his receivers in the second half. What changed? And nobody professed to know without, further review. I'm going to go back and look at my DVR recording when we're done here because I'm kind of curious.
I heard one of your reports this morning, and it said exactly what I looked up last night, and I looked it up exactly the way you said it. Carson Palmer attempted 34 passes. He was sacked once, and he scrambled twice. Okay, so those were both pass plays as well. That's 37 pass attempts. There was one interception, and there were two passes defensed. And let me say this. I think they messed up in the stats because they credited Ryan Clark with both an interception and a pass defense for the same play. So when you're talking about actually getting your hands on the football.
Well, I thought I remembered, too. I thought Chris Carter had one. When on the ball, he should have intercepted when he turned around late and hit him in the face.
Yes.
And then I thought Cortez Allen got one.
Okay, well, they don't – yes, you're right. They don't have the Cortez Allen one, but they did overcompensate Ryan Clark. So it's still two passes defense in 37 attempts.
The replacement stat crew messed that up.
That's –
it's not enough, is it?
No. I mean, and it's no, it's not, and one sack. The pressure wasn't there, certainly not consistently, and that guy they had a right tackle. I mean,
should have been beaten like a turnstile.
Yes,
was not.
I don't want you.
Willie Smith is that guy. That his name is Smith. It could easily have been Jones.
And the penalties. I mean, first of all, you have 10 penalties. The Raiders have two. Was it three? Okay.
10 enforced penalties.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I was just going to get
two on one play, so yes, they only needed one.
They only needed one to nullify that punt return for a touchdown. Yes. That, gee, I don't know, early in the second quarter, could have put the Steelers up 21-7, and do you think maybe the Raiders start thinking, you know what, everybody was right, we're really not that good. And then there were other penalties, too. There were
five pre-snap? Is that where you're going?
Yes, five pre-snap. Eight of the 10 were either on the offense or on special teams returning, which is all, to me, offense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, well, you say, well, gee, the defense only had two penalties, but one of those was that incredibly, what are you thinking, jumping off sides on fourth and two at the six?
And seven of them, Bob, were in the first half when, as I mentioned, the Raiders had 37 passing yards, and other than the McFadden run, showed no inclination to produce anything on offense. That's when you get a what did I say on the pregame show? Get a handle on this early. Put them away early. Don't let them hang around. Not that that's some kind of genius revelation. That's the plan every week. But that's what they could have blown these guys out.
Yes.
They
yes.
did not, and then look what happened.
Right. Happens. Yeah, the fact that it was 17-14 at the end of the first half, the Raiders had to be doing cartwheels in their locker room.
And the Steelers had to scramble to get the lead.
Yes, right. Right.
When they should have, the numbers were ridiculous. You have the thing, the halftime stats in front of you there. 8 minutes and change, the Raiders had the ball to 21. I think they were 0 for 4 on third down in the first half.
Yes.
I think they had five total first downs.
105 yards of offense, and 64 of it was one play.
Yeah. That's how that was a 17-14 game at the half is head scratching.
Well, and then.
But it sheds a little light on how it became so head scratching at the end.
Right. As a football team, if you allow that to happen, you usually get what you deserve. I mean, the football gods usually punish those who, do not take advantage of their opportunities to that degree. And that's what it was. I mean, the Raiders 0 for 4 on third downs, the Steelers were over 50%. 14 first downs to 5. As you mentioned, time of possession was 21:36 to 8:24. Come on.
Come on, man.
the Dwyer fumble. I mean, the Dwyer fumble, the Antonio Brown fumble. I mean, the turnovers.
He actually fumbled twice.
Yeah, he got one back, though. Well, you get it back, it doesn't count. That's okay with me.
Right.
You know?
You said ball security might be an
ball
issue.
Oh, it's definitely an issue. I forget where I was going with that point, though. The turnovers. The turnovers the last time the Steelers went to Oakland, just the sheer number, the volume of them beat you down. This wasn't much volume because you were only -1 turnover ratio, which is not a death sentence. But it was the timing of them. To me, this
kept them in the game early and prevented the Steelers from putting it away late, potentially.
Yes.
Where was the
Brown
fumble was about the Oakland 36.
Right. That's where it was recovered. Yes.
With a 3-point lead, working clock.
Yeah.
Got a chance to take a 10-point lead with about 3.5-4 minutes left, ball game.
Right. Unless Darren McFadden goes 64 yards up the middle again. But
and something else that I forgot to point out in everything that I've said and written about this game to this point. Getting back to the bad special teams play, it was highly penalized and gave up long returns that helped jumpstart the Oakland offense. That onside kick the Raiders tried was there.
Yes.
And it just bounced out of bounds before they could fall on it. A little too much backspin for Janikowski on that wedge. But Robert Golden was overmatched and outnumbered and just blasted out of the picture. And the ball's just bouncing on the ground there waiting for a Raider to fall on it. What if they'd gotten that? It was a three-way bad effort is the point I'm trying to make. Everybody wants to carp the defense today, I'm sure. But nobody's coming out of this smelling good.
No, absolutely not. And, to me, that the Raiders were willing, very comfortable in taking that chance too. At that, I mean, they're just kind of almost saying to you, laughed when they've
laughed when they've conquered and won.
Yeah, the Steve Sable verse. I mean, that's the Raiders I really believe that when you know it's 7-0 right away. The Raiders start out their first play intercepted. Steelers take it right down the field. Ben toys with them on 4th-and-1, sticks it in the end zone. 7-0. You know, their next pass should have been intercepted again, wasn't. 2 plays later, though, Darren McFadden's crossing the goal line. But even at, you know, at 14-7, if the Antonio Brown punt return is not nullified by the penalties, and I don't know if they were good calls or not, but at this point it really doesn't matter. I don't know, the 21-7 early in the second quarter, you know, the Raiders, they're not a high character outfit anyway. If you give them a reason to fold up, they probably will. But the Steelers kept letting them back in the game or keeping them in it with their own mistakes.
Yeah, there was another possession that began at the Oakland 48 that they did nothing with. And then there was the fumble possession. And all of a sudden at 14-14, I think the Raiders were suddenly interested.
And, yeah.
Feeling like, hey, what the heck?
Let's see
where this is going. Let's stick around and see the end of this movie.
And really, in the second half, I had no belief that the Steelers could stop them at any point.
I concur. I was surprised when they got the stop that led to the game-tying field goal.
Yes.
I assumed that drive was going into the end zone.
That's certainly what we had been seeing.
As Mike Tomlin probably did.
When he went for it on fourth down.
And which I think was the right thing to do. Because at that point, at least if you get stopped, they're going to score quicker, and you'll have some time left,
right,
to maybe do something about it on the backside. But once you got down inside 2 minutes, then I think you had to punt and hope for the best, and didn't work out.
Didn't work out, no. You know, kickoff coverage wasn't very good. Drew Butler looked like a rookie. That kind of wraps up the special teams. The defense, we've taken care of that. Offense, you know, the ball security, the offensive line is highly penalized every week. And holdings and, you know, Gilbert not lining up properly. I mean, that kind of stuff, those pre-snap penalties, you know, as that famous former coach used to, he'd go absolutely crazy with that kind of stuff. And,
you know,
no running game. Except,
you know, they made a 3rd-and-1 with Isaac Redman. They made a 3rd-and-1 with Baron Batch. They made a 4th-and-1 with Isaac Redman. These are plays they pretty much know you're going to run, and it's a big deal, and they made it anyway. So why can't they do that more consistently? That's my question of the day.
Because the back didn't dance on any of those. There were ballet slippers involved.
That is correct. That is an accurate statement. Is it that simple?
Stick it
up in there.
There seemed to me to be some plays where I'm sitting in a press box watching with my binoculars, and it seemed to me some running plays where I thought they could have gotten more out of that than that.
I had the same suspicion. Handful of times.
I mean, there was one where I remember this specifically. It was one of those counters where the guard pulls, and it was Cologne coming around from the left to the right, and Dwyer got the ball, and it looked like he wasn't patient enough to allow Cologne to get through there. They collided, which stopped Dwyer's momentum and got him tackled. But then once Cologne cleared, he went and got someone, and there was a hole there. If you'd wait for him a little bit, but none of that happened. And now you're 1-2, and there's a lot of things, issues with this team that I don't know. Doesn't seem to be able to rush the passer anymore, not consistently. To this, again, there are not a lot of plays being made on the ball when it's in the air. And last year that was okay because, you know, you were leading the league in completion percentage and fewest yards allowed and fewest points allowed and all that stuff. Okay, you know, if you're forcing them to punt, maybe that's Maybe that's somebody calling with some answers to some of these questions.
What's that? Another penalty and another completion for the Raiders. Just the totals.
But, you know, I don't know that this changes easily. And if it does, I mean, sitting here right now, I don't see how it can. The personnel is the personnel, to paraphrase Ike.
Chances to make a first impression only come around so many times.
No,
I mean, I'm just looking at this from what I thought I believed about this team. I think they're better than they showed yesterday. I don't think that was a representative performance. Now, can they improve enough? Is their best good enough? We'll see. 92-43 got to help.
Yeah, but, you know, let me just go back to what you said that, you know, it wasn't their best performance. You know, it's starting to worry me now, though, that this inability to put not necessarily your best performance, but to summon a performance that's good enough to win a game against, hey, these aren't the, you know, the 76 Raiders here.
No. But nor are they Jacksonville or Kansas City or Cleveland.
They were pretty close to that yesterday. They were signing corners off the street, tackles off the street. You know, they are, again, I don't think it can be underestimated what they're trying to accomplish there in terms of a transition from 60 years of one thing. I don't think 6 months is enough. And, you know, for 31 points not to be enough to beat that team, to me, is frightening.
Yeah. Well, you need to score as many as you need to score. And, you know, the offense for all the statistical bliss, that's 0-2 now in, okay, here's a drive to win the game at the end situations.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that the Steelers are supposed to have an edge there. I'm not putting it all on the quarterback, but when you have that kind of quarterback, you expect that to happen, do you not?
Yes.
And it's not happening yet. So I hate to go back to the former coach, but there is a fine line. And, you know, if you come out of that game winning, you're 2-1, you're tied for first place, all these problems look less.
Sure.
They're not glaring the way they are now. So, you know, back to work and take care of Philadelphia at home and then find a way to go win at Tennessee. And what are the Titans, about -300 in point differential through 3 weeks?
It's close.
It's a hideous number. It's in the 40s.
But, I mean, is going to Tennessee any easier than going to Oakland? I mean, you know, I just to me, these
shorter flights.
these things have a tendency to build and compound rather than reverse themselves 180 degrees. That's just my experience. Now,
yeah, got to go all Barney Fife on them, Coach, and nip it in the bud.
Well, let's hope that, I don't know, they figure out a way how to do
that.
Let's
just start with the cleaning up the penalties thing. What does that change?
Let's
clean up the ball security.
28 penalties in three games.
That doesn't get anybody better at covering or rushing the passer or hitting it up in there, but it changes games.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm still of the belief that, I mean, the problems you're referencing, maybe we worry about that in December and January should they get to the big games against serious people that they intend to get to. But for now, just don't lose.
Yes.
Don't lose the game.
Don't beat yourself.
Herm Edwards always said the idea is to win the game, but most of these games are won by the other guy losing the game before you win it.
Yes.
So just stop being slappy and see where that takes you.
Words to live by. For Mike Prasuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.